Good evening. It's Sunday, October 15th, 2023. Coming up, as the United States expresses unwavering support for Israel in their continued attack of Hamas, while continuing to support Ukraine in the defeat of Russia, peace activists are calling for negotiations, not weapons.
There is no military solution in the case of Palestine. There is no military solution in the case of Ukraine.
As National Coming Out Week happened on October 11th, LGBTQ plus musicians are singing their truths.
I've had trans students come out to me in class and talk to me about my queer love song and cry, and in a cathartic way, you know, ask, you know, for advice and just to hold space for them. And I myself am genderqueer and part of the QT BIPOC community. And so it's really a message for us to just say that we are thriving, we're here, and we're absolutely divine.
And Oakland's annual Autumn Lights Festival sells out, bringing people from all walks of life together this weekend to enjoy art while fundraising for the city's themed gardens.
And we really like to do pieces that are both interactive and allow people to kind of discover their own relationship with the art piece. And so the piece that we're working on this year, which we're standing in front of as a prototype, is the PF3000.
I'm Sharon Sabota, and this is the KPFA Weekend Evening News. It's a scene from many people's worst nightmares, dancing to music at a festival when suddenly armed militants begin shooting attendees with assault rifles. This is what happened on October 7th at the Supernova Music Festival in Riem, Israel, a rural region where some 3,500 people had gathered to have a good time, at least 260 of which didn't leave alive, and dozens of others had been taken hostage due to an attack by the fighting group Hamas, which seeks to liberate Palestinian refugees from Israeli occupation. Israel has responded by calling up 360,000 reservists to accompany its 170,000-member active duty army. Meanwhile, President Biden has reiterated that the United States is with Israel. Many people are pledging their support and prayers for Israel and Israelis while denouncing anti-Semitism. What is less frequent in social media and largely absent from mainstream media is the discussion of Palestinian people who, like Israeli people, are losing their lives in the aftermath of the attack, and the denouncing of Islamophobia or the context of the conflict between Palestinians and Israelis, which is rooted in settler colonialism and occupation. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin III has pledged unwavering support for Israel in combating Hamas while continuing to provide supplies and support to Ukraine in their efforts to defeat Russia. Austin said, quote, "We are appalled by the emerging scope of the atrocities committed by the terrorists of Hamas. Our hearts go out to all of those whose loved ones were murdered or wounded or taken hostage." He added, "Nobody should try to take advantage of this vile Hamas assault to cause more bloodshed or instability. Our support for Israel is rock solid. We're working urgently to get Israel what it needs to defend itself, including munitions and Iron Dome interceptors, and we will do so even as we continue to support the people of Ukraine as they fight against Russian aggression." End quote. Code Pink founder Medea Benjamin spoke on Democracy Now! Last week with another perspective. She said war and weapons will never bring peace, and urged people not to ignore the context of the problems in the Middle East and in the Russia-Ukraine conflict.
In hearing about the atrocities in Palestine and Israel, I just feel such a heavy heart about this military madness. There is no military solution in the case of Palestine. There is no military solution in the case of Ukraine. I think the sanest voices are coming from the global majority around the world that are calling for peaceful solutions to both of these crises. In fact, the president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, at the United Nations before this latest round of violence in Palestine, came out and said that the UN needs two urgent peace conferences, one to deal with Ukraine and one to deal with Palestine, because the world needs to come together to deal with what he called the mother of all crises, which is climate change. We have to get off this treadmill of military madness that only benefits the weapons companies and brings horror, suffering, death, destruction to people who are the victims of militarism. So as progressives, I think we have to come together and say to the Democrats like Bernie Sanders, like to the Squad, you know in your heart of hearts, in fact, Bernie Sanders, we read his own words right before the Ukraine invasion saying there needs to be negotiations. There are no military solutions to these crises.
That's Code Pink founder Medea Benjamin. President Joe Biden went to the airwaves last week with this message.
This was an act of sheer evil. More than 1,000 civilians slaughtered, not just killed, slaughtered in Israel.
While many people share President Joe Biden's sentiment, people around the world, including peace activists and Palestinians, are noting what he is and isn't saying. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti spoke on Democracy Now! Last week, calling Biden's rhetoric both racist and Islamophobic.
I find that President Biden, unfortunately, practiced, excuse me for that, but I have to say it, Mr. Biden practiced racial discrimination between Americans who carry Israeli citizenship and Americans who carry Palestinian citizenship. I did not see him say that those who killed Shireen Abu Akleh, a very peaceful journalist who was Palestinian and American and who was never held to accountability. Nobody was indicted for killing her. He didn't say a word about the American Palestinians in Turmus Aya, whose houses were burned and whose cars were attacked and whose lives was threatened by Israeli illegal settlers, some of whom also carry American citizenship. I don't want any Palestinian or any Israeli civilian to be killed. I am against that. I'm against killing children. But today and now, Israel is preparing a huge ground operation on Gaza. If that happens, it will be a total disaster. If ethnic cleansing takes place, this will be a terrible, terrible, terrible disaster for everybody. And if the ground operation starts, it will definitely lead to the explosion in the north and Hezbollah getting involved, and maybe this will lead to a whole regional war. I think what we need here is a balanced, reasonable, and responsible reactions, and not continuation of dehumanizing Palestinians, accusing Palestinians of responsibility even when Palestinians are killed.
He also called out Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, saying that in addition to his response being not proportional, he has failed his own Israeli people.
I think that Netanyahu doesn't care about his people. I think Netanyahu is the most corrupt, opportunistic politician ever. This man cares only about his position. He doesn't even care about the 150 or 200 Israeli prisoners now in Gaza. If he cared about them, he would accept immediately a ceasefire. He would accept immediately a prisoners exchange so that these people can come back home safe. And Palestinian prisoners would be released, some of whom have been in Israeli jails for 44 years. This is the solution, and not to escalate. But Netanyahu knows. If any inquiry starts about what happened at the borders of Gaza, they will find him responsible for negligence, irresponsibility, lack of preparation, intelligence failure, military failure, political failure, and he will be sent out of the office, which means he will go to jail because of four cases of corruption against him. He knows that, and that's why he's ready to kill anybody to stay in his office. This man doesn't care about the lives of Palestinians or Israelis. He didn't care about the fact that he brought to his government fascists like Smotrich, who doesn't hide calling himself a fascist homophobe, and who said that we will fill the West Bank with settlers and settlements so that Palestinians would lose any hope of a state of their own. And then they would have one of three choices, either to immigrate or accept a life of subjugation to Israeli rule, or die. That is the finance minister of Israel. And we didn't hear any criticism to that, neither from Netanyahu, nor from your foreign minister, Mr. Blinken, nor from any other Western leaders who are now, unfortunately, participating in escalating the situation rather than calming it down. The big question that Palestinians have, and this is my last point here, the big question that Palestinians have is, Why the double standard? Why the United States and Europe sent to Ukraine $224 billion of equipment, of planes, of tanks to fight what they say is occupation? And why in our case they are sending arsenal and money and support to the occupiers of Palestine?
That's Palestinian physician Dr. Mustafa Barvouti speaking about the conflict between Israel and Palestine. You're listening to the Weekend Evening News on KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley, KFCF 88.1 FM in Fresno, K248BR 97.5 FM in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. I'm Sharon Sabota. Last Wednesday was National Coming Out Day, the day October 11th was first celebrated in 1988 and was meant to combat homophobia and make it safe for people to be their authentic selves. I spoke with two musicians who say their music allows them to share truths that are easier to sing than to speak.
My name is Doctora Chingona Diana Alvarez. And
Alvarez told me why she loves music.
There's so many stories that arise in songs, and sometimes we can say things in songs we can't say otherwise. So that's one thing that I love about it.
I asked Alvarez how she felt about the picketer that had been near the stage the day before holding an anti-trans sign. Alvarez had no words for that, but instead focused on the way that she is able to touch and hold up fellow people who are non-binary and genderqueer with her music.
I'm a former college professor, and now I teach voice and music here with Modern Tone, and I've had trans students come out to me in class and talk to me about my queer love song and cry, and in a cathartic way, you know, ask, you know, for advice and just to hold space for them. And I myself am genderqueer and part of the QT BIPOC community, and so it's really a message for us to just say that we are thriving, we're here, and we're absolutely divine as we are.
And I noticed you sang some Selena songs.
Yeah,
as
I did.
Well. Your roots are in Texas?
I'm from Corpus Christi, Texas, yep.
And Selena was from Texas.
Selena was from Corpus Christi, Texas, yeah. So she's a big part of, you know, unfortunately she died when I was young, but that also caused so many young people to be influenced by her music growing up, and I was one of them.
One of the things that you said is when you were playing music, you kind of wanted to maybe get away from that type of music, mm-hmm. right? You were like, eventually, you like maybe it called you back. Talk about that journey.
Sure. I think I didn't quite understand the importance of my culture and music because I grew up in a very Mexican culture in Corpus Christi, Texas. And then when I was away in the Northeast, I've encountered a lot of racism, a lot of being an outsider. And so returned to my roots and just really wanted to know more about my history and my culture through song and music, and eventually just fell back in love with the music that, you know, as a young person, sometimes we turn away from the things that are close to us at home. We want to escape them. But I kind of started reinventing songs for myself and making them queer, like myself. Some of these old boleros and ranchera songs.
And what does it feel like to stand on a stage and say that?
It feels very powerful, and it feels like I'm healing my lineage because I don't have a lot of queer acceptance in my own family. I have some, but not a lot. And so to be able to say that and to hopefully reach other people and let us feel like we can be in community together and we will thrive and continue living and being, it means a lot to me. It's very important to me.
And lastly, what role do musicians and artists have in shaping social justice as a whole or in any given movement?
We are crucial to shaping the world we want to see. And as artists, we are able to imagine something through our art that may feel very impossible. And that has happened throughout history. If we look back at how artists have shaped the future and imagined the future. So that's the power of art and why I love teaching music.
I also spoke with singer-songwriter Genesis Herman about the role that music has in changing the world we live in.
It's a tremendous tool, and it has such a powerful thing that is needed in the activism world, because not only is it, you know, like the spoken word and like the actions make a huge difference, but the music is inspiring and it's motivating and imparts wisdom to the community, and also just it's a good morale booster for everyone in the cause.
In addition to playing music together, the pair are partners in life. They shared a piece of their long-distance coming-together love story during their performance.
There's some love-type songs, there's some social justice-type songs. Why is it important to look at both of those things and more?
Because that is a part of our life. We're intertwined in that, and love is a universal thing that everyone can relate to, and social justice is something that we want to bring into the forefront of people's minds and their hearts and ears, and get them to be aware of the injustices that are happening in this world, and also just to bring more empathy and compassion in this world and understanding. And people, when people understand and people are attentive to the things that are going right and going wrong, and can find improvements in this world, and you know, that's what we do.
The resounding message of the pair was that love knows no boundaries, and that if you can't speak your truth, sing it. Oakland's annual Autumn Lights Festival has been underway this weekend. The event is sponsored by the Gardens of Lake Merritt, whose mission it is to collaborate with the City of Oakland to enhance the 7-acre collection of themed gardens. I spoke with one of this year's award recipients for an interactive LED animation exhibit prior to this year's festival.
So I'm Carl Cosmos. I'm a member of an art collective called Filma Art Collective.
And Filma stands for?
Filma stands for Let's Make Art. So we have a couple of pieces, and we really like to do pieces that are both interactive and allow people to kind of discover their own relationship with the art piece. And so the piece that we're working on this year, which we're standing in front of as a prototype, is the PF3000. And the PF3000 is, how do I describe it? A touch-based large format pixel design tool. And that's a fancy way of saying using your hands, you can create designs on a grid of these LEDs. Each of these squares is a 4-inch LED. So normally, you know, LEDs are almost microscopic, and your TV has like a million of them, right? So what if we blew those up really, really, really big? And that's what we did here. And so we have 4x4 LEDs, and when you touch an LED, it changes color. And then we have a fill mode, so if you touch it and then drag, you can kind of paint. So this way you could like, the intention, by the way, is to have a 16 by 16 one of these. So we needed a way for you to like, you know, fill in Pac-Man's yellow and not have to just tap a million times. But once you come up with something that you really like, then we have this yellow button here. What the yellow button does is it advances to a frame. So this saves 4 frames of animation. So you hit the button and then you can do the next animation or whatever you want to do. And you hit the button again, and once you've got, you know, your animation worked out, you can cycle through all the frames like so.
Tell me, why is it important to have a collective like F It, Let's Make Art? Why is it important to have art accessible for communities like this one?
There's so many reasons. You know, art like this, it does a bunch of things. For one, it provides an opportunity for people to play. And play with color and sound and touch and all these sort of, you know, visceral tactile elements of the reality that most art, you know, most of the time when you go to an art show, you're like, cool, I'm going to go look at some paintings, right? But the art that we make is intended for people to play. And beyond playing, our art is also educational, actually, especially this piece. Our sound reactive tunnel isn't quite as educational, but this piece is actually meant to teach kids about, well, not just kids, but anyone, about computer animation in general, and also vintage video games. So, you know, this is our 4x4, but we want to make one that's 16x16.
And it would be in a public community space?
Well, we want to, we'd like to take our pieces to the Autumn Lights Festival at Lake Merritt. So our goal is to raise the funds to build the 16x16 one of this, which will be, you know, 6 feet high and 6 feet wide. And then ideally we'd get accepted to that festival and debut it. Our sound tunnel's been there a couple times, so we think we've got a pretty good chance.
Cosmos and his fellow art collective members did make it to the 2023 Autumn Lights Show and received an award for their innovative project. When making a speech, Cosmos said, "We made this art for our community, and our hope is that our community loves our art as much as we loved making it for our community." An intergenerational crowd gathered in the community garden in Lafayette under a sky lit only by the glimmers of stars in the sky up above. With the guidance of an astronomer, the crowd of about 36 people studied the sky while identifying and imagining the meanings and symbolisms of constellations and preparing for the partial solar eclipse that happened last night.
Jupiter will rise in a couple of hours. I'm sorry. Venus is in the morning. So I recommend that you get up in the morning before sunrise around 6 in the morning and you look east and you will see the crescent moon, because remember, the moon is going toward the sun. So you will see the crescent moon and you will see Venus very close to each other.
The astronomer encouraged people to get grounded and stay connected with the Earth in spaces like community gardens, while also taking time to look up and admire the vast sky above us that connects us all.
The best way to protect the Earth is to touch it, cultivate it just like you do here. This is the best thing in Lafayette. I have to say, I am so proud that you invite me here to be able to come and also remind us that we're not just looking down, but we're looking up to be good citizens of the planet. But the fact that we have a garden here and that the children can come in and, you know where their food comes from is actually a gift.
7-year-old aspiring astrophysicist Evelyn attended the event with her grandma and was starstruck by her experience.
You would see the Milky Way.
Evelyn.
But you have to be in Flagstaff.
I'm almost 8.
You're almost 8.
Are you in second grade?
Like
yes.
Very, very
and
dark
what
skies.
Do you think about this?
At this moment,
it's amazing.
It's
amazing. What's your favorite thing?
25%
the
of people
stars.
In North America.
Tell me about
the
question
Way.
That you asked earlier.
One third of the world.
Why were constellations made? But it was about
so
using our imaginations.
And
did you know that,
not
or did you figure it out from looking up at the sky?
Satellites.
I didn't know that.
Starling constellation.
But you figured out the answer, right?
The
yeah.
World.
What's the most fun part about being here tonight?
Learning
about the stars.
Yeah,
and what's your favorite thing about looking up at the stars?
Because
when you're looking up at the stars, you're actually looking at a bunch of different planets called planet. There's another name for them, but I like to call them planets out of our solar system. But there's a more scientific name.
But
you like
solar system?
Yes.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
An astrophysicist.
An astrophysicist. And how did you decide that?
Because I like space.
Oh my god.
But I don't want to go in space.
You just want to study it.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Grandma, can I ask you what your name is and what brought you and your granddaughter here tonight?
My name is Mary, and I'm a member here at the garden, and so I've always tried to get my family here, and this is a great opportunity to bring my granddaughter. She loves to study about space, and I thought this would be a great opportunity for her to see what a stargazing event would be like.
And is she enjoying it as much or more than you expected?
I'm pretty impressed. I think she's been enjoying it more than I expected. Absolutely. Yeah.
And what's it been like for you to be here?
Oh, it's awesome. I just love being here at the garden in general. And to have all these wonderful events like stargazing, it's great to be here at night and have these experts come in and teach us about the universe.
So yes, if you look at
Are you both going to be watching for a glimpse of the eclipse?
I'm sure we will. Now that we know it's going to happen, because we didn't. And I'm going to make a date with Evelyn, and we're going to watch it together.
Really? Did you just think of that?
Those are voices from folks who gathered at the Lafayette Community Garden last week in anticipation for this weekend's partial solar eclipse. And as we're in the midst of Latinx Heritage Month, we'll end today's show with an interview with Lucia Gonzalez-Ippolito, who spoke with me on the corner of 24th and Mission, where she and a team of others have been restoring a 50-year-old mural, appropriately called People First.
My name is Lucia Gonzalez-Ippolito, and I'm up here on the scaffold for the restoration of Michael Rios's. My name is Lucia Gonzalez-Ippolito, and I'm up here on the scaffold for the restoration of Michael Rios's mural that was originally painted in 1975. So 50 years later, we are restoring it with Suaro Cervantes, Carlos Cookie Gonzalez.
Talk about what lands, what story does it tell, and why is it important to restore it?
Well, it's about BART and free public transportation. Well, not free, but transportation for all. Uh-huh. And you know, that it shows all the people that work, put their hard labor into building it, into accessing it, all the people below, and then the city behind is, you know, that it's an urban landscape. So, you know, we're part of this whole transportation city, and he has kind of little subtleties that kind of like touch on different issues, but such as like the sky is red, to be in solidarity with, you know, Maui. So there's a, you know, it's a mural for the people first,
looking at interconnectedness of issues. Yes. And of people.
Yeah, I think so. How did you? Like, I think it's an artistic expression of color, and you know, it's different than what many other people do, I think, nowadays too. You know, I think a lot of murals have been very kind of trying to be like realistic, or the colors are somewhat more muted. And Michael is a very like cartoony and also vibrant with his palette. So it's very unique, this mural.
Why is it important to have vibrant, colorful murals in places like this?
Well, it just fits in with the culture of the mission. You know, this is part of our cultura is very vibrant. So, and you know, this, I think this wall is really needed. Because, you know, the plaza here, the BART Plaza has become, it's been really sad. You know, it's there's a lot of poverty and crime, and people are starving and trying to survive, and there's a heavy presence of police, and there's also a lot of drug abuse, and there's a lot of violence. So, you know, I think it's just a kind of an example of the state of our society right now. And to have this mural, I think brings some joy and some sense of like, hey, you know, like we're all here and we all need to unite. Or at least I hope it does.
That's it for this evening's newscast. Thank you to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Remember, you can always continue to contribute to listener-sponsored radio securely online at kpfa.org. I'm Sharon Sabota. I'll be back with you here again on the 5th and the 3rd Sunday of each month. Till then, take care of yourselves and each other. Good evening.